men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was so great on earth that every intent of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Just think about that. In that 8 verses, there is so much going on there. We have it where we, just on the surface layer, we see all these things that are happening. People are becoming super evil. Then we even see right here, verse 7, the Lord said, I'm going to paraphrase this, I will destroy. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Right there, it shows how beautiful God is. But we have to understand, how did we get in this mess in the first place? Who are the sons of God? And who are the sons of men? And why is Noah even needed in this situation? To understand that, we need to flip our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. This is Cain murdering Abel. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then when she bore again, this time his brother Abel, now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and to the Lord, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel and his brother and killed him. Wow, that is crazy. But this shows that right now, Cain, what happens to Cain? We know that Cain goes and flees off. So is this it? Is this how the world's going to be? Are we just going to have sinful people running the world? No, this is not the case. If we go down to chapter 5, verse 3, we see Adam lived 130 years and begot his son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. So we have this whole plot thickening right now. We have Cain on one side, he's super evil. We have Seth on the other side that is righteous. Now, when we flip back to Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, we see that the sons of God are Seth's lineage, and the sons of man are going to be Cain's lineage. What is happening is they're intermarrying with each other. The reason why we have giants is it has to do with genetics. Even if you look at the conquistadors, when they came here or they came down to South America, what they did was, is some of the Native Americans they were marrying, their children did not have smallpox. They had a genetic vaccine against that. The same thing we're seeing here. When you have two people that are intermarrying a whole lot, you mix them with each other, their children are going to be taller. There is one misconception that people are thinking, that it was demons marrying the daughters of men, like the sons of God are angels, and the daughters of men are just regular people. And a way to say how that's not true, let's flip to Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, and it says, for in resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. So right there we see that it's not Cain, or it's not demons marrying men, but it's actually Cain's lineage and Seth's lineage intermarrying with each other. And what do we see all the time, even in the church, when you have one person who's a Christian and one person's unsaved, what usually happens? Does that person usually tend to fall with them? We always see from all the time, I even see it all the time, I know a lot of my friends, one of their parents is a Christian and one of them is not. And that one that's not a Christian has led their life for the other one not to be saved. And it happens all the time, and this is what we're seeing. But we see here that they're becoming evil, and all they want to do is unabominable things against the Lord. But then we see one thing. This is the truly amazing part. Genesis chapter 6, verse 7 again. For the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created, and the beast, and the birds, and every creepy thing of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did you know that's the first time grace is ever used in the Bible? Adam received grace. God could have killed him right there. Eve received grace. Even Cain did. God could have just struck him down right then and there, but he didn't. But Noah is the first person to have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's even more than that. If you jump down to verse 9, it says, this genealogy of Noah was just a man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And I have it on my little notes here in my little column. My Bible comes with this. It says, for the perfect in his generation, it says, blameless or having integrity. So we see here, we have all of this evilness happening, but in the whole middle of it, God is using somebody for his work, and he always does that. Now, this is the thing that I don't think a lot of people understand. Noah was the only person besides his family that believed in God. They had things we can't even imagine. Imagine going outside and looking at rubies or emeralds or diamonds bigger than you are, and people making beautiful sculptures out of those, or houses lined with these, or trees bigger than any of the cedar redwoods we have nowadays, and they're so strong. It would be so hard for Noah not to be tempted in it and be like, wow, look at all the things of this world, when you're the only one. And I think that shows, we'll get into that more, but that shows of how great Noah was. But what happens? God is long-suffering, but at the same time, he is, like he says, he's not going to strive with man forever. God is just and he's fair, and when it comes down to it, he's going to have to destroy the world. So if we flip to our Bibles to Genesis chapter 7, I'm just going to paraphrase this, and we're going to read the great story of the flood, because what we've just learned now, we've just learned the history of it. If Cain had never killed Abel, maybe there wouldn't have been a flood. If Cain had accepted God and he had done the right thing, and if he would have sacrificed the first lamb, maybe there wouldn't have been a flood. Maybe there wouldn't have been any of that to happen, because since he did, and Seth's family did not hold to the strong morals and values of God, we had to come to this problem. And like I said, the Lord is long-suffering, but at some point, he is going to have to do destruction and have to be judged full of it. So, chapter 7, verse 1, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, and you and all of your household, you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven of each, every clean animal, a male and his female, two of each animals that are unclean, and a male and his female. Also, seven of each birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth. 40 days and 40 nights, I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood. That's old. Imagine that. He worked on it for 100 years. He kept the faith so long. It wasn't just like, you know, we always see in like kids' cartoons or even in movies. They make it seem like it was a day. No, Noah, every single day was getting made fun of. Because you have to think about this. Again, there was no rain. What was it? It was a dew, right? There was a dew coming out of the earth. There was an ocean. It was super small. And a boat the size of, nobody had a boat that big. And it would be very hard for even us, if we were there living, for us to take him seriously. Because when you've never seen it, it's so hard to believe in something. Amen. And keep on going. It's verse 7. So Noah with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of the clean animals and the animals of the unclean. Even then right there, it shows how God is so merciful. He could have wiped out the unclean animals as well, but he left them. Because he loves everything. Of the birds and of everything that creeps out of the air. Two by two, they went into the ark of Noah. To Noah, male and female, as God had commanded it. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters waters of the flood were on the earth. And the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And then I'm just going to skip down to verse 15. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, all flesh, which is the breath of life. Those that entered, male and female, all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Wow. There is a lot we've just talked about. We're going to just dissect this one more time before we go on, because this is so profound when you look at it. When you really look at this, when you look at the whole chapter of chapter 6, you see that they had technology. Again, I'm going to go back to this point that we can't even dream of. We can't even think of. They had stuff so immaculate. They were so, as I believe Ellen White says, that they used their own science to reason out God. That's how smart they were. They understood everything, things that we can't even understand. For Noah to come into this picture and be like, no, I'm going to reject the world. It is so hard. It's so hard because they were, it's crazy. It truly is crazy. And then you look, he does it for 100 years. Could you do it for 100 years? We have to ask ourselves that question. Could you do it? Could you keep the faith every day? Somebody like, no, what are you doing? Come on, dude, let's go out to the groves and sacrifice to one of the gods. Come out, let's go and party. Let's go do things. No. I'm going to stay right here in God's plan. And that is really crazy. And now that we've just did that, now the sermon starts. You guys ready? All right, so we just went over the history of it. But now this is, I have this in my notes, the nitty gritty. This is it. We just went over the flood and how it happens in its time. To talk about how it pertains to us and how it's not just some stories, because the same things are happening then, are happening now as they had then. What are some things we see today in the world? I actually have some statistics I'll read from us in a second, but what are some things that are happening in the world today that we see? That's in the New Testament. Does anybody have anything? Any verses? Nobody? Do you have something, Dad? No? Okay. We're going to flip to Timothy 3:2. Let's flip to Timothy 3:2. Let's see what the Bible has to present itself. Because I could stand here all day and just preach a bunch of words. But let's see what the Bible has to say to itself. So Timothy 3:2, we're actually going to read all the way to... 2 Timothy verse 3. Just start at chapter 3. We're going to read till verse 9. 1 through 9. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasterers, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, we talked about this in Sabbath school, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households. And really think about this. Listen to this part, verse 6. For all this sort who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. I'm going to stop there for just a second. Today we live in a technology form. We live in a world today where we have people called influencers. We have YouTube influencers. We have Facebook influencers, Instagram influencers, TikTok influencers. And when you go onto these sites, there are some few who do it, but instead of preaching the word, I see it all the time. You go on, because I like to look at photography or I like to look at snowboarding, but you have all these other just terrible stuff that's on there. You see, it's always about money, or it's always about sexual immorality, and it's always about putting somebody else down. You try to talk to somebody in the comment section about any type of a topic that they may differ from you, it's not just agree to disagree anymore. It's of, no, you're wrong, and you're not just wrong. I'm going to go to your profile, and I'm going to hurt you, and I'm going to say shameful things about you. It has nothing to pertain about what we're discussing from. And this is exactly what we're seeing in verse 6. You know, with women be loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts. Today, this world, I can't stop but scroll about and all these different things about people are trying to make these quick rich schemes. And that's all that people's minds are captivated on is, I got to get the next dollar bill. I got to Climb the ladder, because that's what matters when it doesn't matter. Let's keep on reading to verse 7. Always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Like we were learning in this thing, the Pharisees, they had knowledge. They had knowledge. They even had the truth, but they rejected that, right? We live in a world where people are so smart. Just 100 years ago, most people didn't even know how to read and write. Just 100 years ago, 1920, it was getting more then. But that's when it really started with the Industrial Revolution. 200, 300, 500 years ago, which really wasn't that long ago. Barely, besides the elite upper class, nobody knew anything. We have such a day where knowledge is at our fingertips. But yet, instead of using it for good, which there's a lot of good on the internet, and there's a lot of good on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and all that stuff. Instead of that, people, it says in verse 7, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. What is truth in the Bible? The truth of Jesus. Doesn't Jesus say he is the way, the truth, and the light? No one comes to me before no one can go to the Father except comes through me. Jesus is the truth. People are so smart, but yet at the same time so dumb to not see how God is here. In verse 8, Jens and Jabez resisted Moses, so do also these resist truth. Men of corrupt minds, disproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all as theirs also was. Just right there when it says men of corrupt minds, those who resist the truth. I have so many friends that are of other religions. They believe a certain way. I try to talk to them. They're smart. Some of them have PhDs. Some of them have multiple PhDs. Some of them are doctors, lawyers. But yet when it comes to the Bible, they reject it. And who else do we know who did that? Genesis chapter 6, who else did that? Nothing new. Solomon says, nothing new under the sun has ever happened. And then there's somebody else who said, besides the history, you don't know. I forget who said that part. But Solomon said that. And we look again in chapter 6 again. Hold on. Let me find it. Hold on. I messed my whole stuff up again. There we go. Wait. Oh, there we go. 7. So the Lord said, I will deceive man who I've just created on the face of the earth. There we go. Chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was so great on earth, and that every intent of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I have some statistics for you. Did you know in 2019 there was 1.2 million violent crimes just in the U.S. alone? That was in 2019. In 2020, that tripled due to the pandemic. Even more than that. Did you know there's already been 120 gun-related violences already in 2021 in the first 3 months? Whereas they relate with gangs, other mass shootings, there's just one in Colorado. We just almost started a war with Syria as well. Just in the first 3 months of 2020. All last summer, what happened all last summer? What was burning down? It wasn't just up here that was burning down. All of America was burning down. Was it burning down for right things? No. Instead, people were burning down buildings, not for the sake of human lives, but for the sake of burning down buildings, because why not? People were rioting in places, not because people are being treated like dogs or being cut down like dogs, as we read in Isaiah today, is 66 verse 3. No, but just because they wanted to, looting and stealing, pillaging, because they want to. So wow, that's a lot of doom and gloom, right? What we just saw, Noah was saved by grace. So what can we do? What can we do to be saved? What can we do to make sure we're on the ark? Because as it looks like the ark's coming pretty soon, doesn't it? Let's go and flip to our Bibles to John 1:12. Dang it, I had all these bookmarks and now I can't find any of them. Here we go. Alright. 1:12. I have it right there. We go. Everybody have it? Alright. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, those who believed in his name. So that's how we become saved. How do we become saved? We have to believe in Jesus. It's not just that. It's not just believing in it. How was your walk with God? It says Noah walked with God. He was perfect in his generations. He walked with God. Are you walking with God? Am I walking with God? That's a question we have to ask ourselves every single day. Or are you becoming, like it says in 2 Timothy, are you becoming boasters? Are you becoming proud? Are you becoming sandals? Are you becoming haughty? Are you becoming corrupt of mind? How is your walk with God? Do you have the faith? Noah had the faith. Noah is a perfect example of what the end time Christian should be. 100, I still can't believe, like, to get that into your guys' minds is 100 years. Most of us are lucky to live to 100 years. He had to build the ark for 100 years. How is your faith? That's something we have to ask yourself. I have one little story to talk about as well. Remember the prince who came to Jesus? And he said, "What, Lord, what must I do to be saved?" What did Jesus say to him? Anybody? What did Jesus say to him? Sell everything you have. Think about that. That guy's dead now. He may have died right after he left. What did he do? Does anybody know what he did? Did he do it? Did he take up on Jesus' once-in-a-lifetime offer? No. We don't know whatever happened to him. You know, during that time, there was a lot of huge violence going on between the Jews and the Romans. And you had the Zealots. Who knows? He could have left there. He could have got killed by somebody as soon as he left. It doesn't matter however long he lived, he's gone now. Right? And think about it, just for a moment of lifetime, what we were talking about earlier, right? When you die, it's like, back up again. Do we have a perception of time when we're sleeping? It's the same thing when we die. Maybe if you never see the ark coming, you've never seen Jesus coming, and you die before that, you are going to see it immediately. Nothing in this world matters to see that. Well, I don't think we ever really think about that. What we think about is like, we think of our time concept. Just last year, I had a friend who passed. It's been a year. It's been a year since he's been gone. But for him, it's just a second. Like that. And even if you miss the ark, as in you don't see it coming, you want to make sure you're ready for the ark when you see it coming in the next life. So, I don't know if I made it too short or not. As I close today, I want to do a little bit of a recap on everything. You have Noah. They were smarter than we are. I mean, I don't know if it was like a city of Atlantis, but they had something way better than these phones we had. I bet, who knows what it was? Maybe it was like a painting that could just reach out and touch you. Who knows what they had? We don't know. We won't know until we get to heaven. And since we know that whatever they had, because I think a lot of times we look at the Bible and we're like, it was so different then. They didn't have Instagram, right? Like Isaiah didn't have Instagram, or Jesus didn't have Instagram. Think about it. Noah had something better than Instagram. Noah had something better for me, cameras or rock climbing competitions. They had something better than it, and he was still able to follow God. And that proves, and he showed us, that no matter what it is or what time frame you're looking for, he had pretty much the best. Because think about it. I mean, just the trees alone, to stand in a tree that's probably almost as big as this church for a firewood, we just need one for the whole lifetime, right? When we look at the mountains, we don't know what the mountains were like. We think about it, how beautiful it was he was still able to do that. And it even ties in with Abraham. Abraham proved by almost sacrificing his son that we can keep the commandments to the T. That nothing in this world matters than to make it on the ark. And I hope that all of you have either, if you haven't accepted Christ, or even if you have, you haven't been doing it as much, that it's time. Because God gave warnings, didn't he? Didn't he give warnings? Didn't he give warnings to them? 100 years, right? He gave so many warnings to them. How many warnings has he given us already just in the last 2,000 years? Our whole lives. And it's coming. If you don't think it's coming soon, this is just a little statistic I had. Look at the whole world statistic. Every year, they're always saying every year we're getting better. No, we're not. We're getting worse every year. Every single year, humanity's morals are going down more and more. And as Christians, we always tend to be like, oh, if I'm just a little bit better than the world, I'm okay. There comes a certain point, if you follow that concept, the morals of like people back in the 1800s that weren't saved will be better than yours. If you follow that concept, we have to have a higher standard than anybody in the world, and we need to make it onto the ark. And I'm going to have a closing prayer. Dear Father in heaven, this end time message is so important. There is nothing in this world worth more than that ticket onto the ark. Lord, as we leave today, I just hope and pray that everyone here, Lord, has accepted you, Lord, and has a relationship with you, Lord, because you never know when it's our time to get on the ark, Lord. Lord, thank you for everybody that has come here today, Lord. Please help again with all of our prayer requests, Lord. You are the one who has the answer for everything. And help us have a great day. In Jesus' name, amen. Perfect.